Right now in Canada, there's a comedian with a $15,000 bounty on his head due to old jokes, and a proposed bill that would make stand-up illegal, submitting that anyone accused of hate speech could face life in prison with or without video evidence, similar to laws already passed in the UK that have created severe consequences for comedy.
You see that wild shit that's going on in Scotland, where they're targeting comedians for hate crime laws? Please, Scotland, we won't target comedians under new hate crime law. That's what you say now. But stand-up shows still come under its scope. Jesus Christ, Scotland, you have one of the biggest comedy festivals on earth.
That's true.
Every year. It's a huge comedy festival.
Age, disability, religion, sexual orientation.
Fuck my whole act.
Yeah, everyone's whole act. I was going to say Marin's whole act.
Stirring up hatred on certain grounds.
Over the last few weeks, comedian Brett Forte has been dropped by his management, received dozens of death threats both online and in person via notes attached to rocks hurled through his windows, and has had a $15,000 hit placed on his head in the city of Winnipeg, all stemming from resurfaced jokes made by members of his three-man comedy troupe, the Danger Cats.
Man, you a fucking man with your little piece of shit comedy, man. You better chill out with that, man. You making fun of our residential school survivors, man, about that unmarked graves, man. This is gonna get you fucking slapped around, man. And oh, you're gonna get us charged with the police and shit. Go ahead, man.
Despite these threats sounding somewhat humorous due to their funny accents, these statements are being taken very seriously by both the Danger Cats and Canadian authorities, who've begun working closely with Brett Forte into tricking protesters to show up at dummy venues miles away from his real shows. But before we learn more about the unknown dangers comedians outside of America are facing, we first need to hear about the jokes that started this whole thing.
One joke that's getting us in trouble, and then there's another joke, and both of them aren't even mine. They're my opener's jokes, and yet rocks are being thrown through windows of venues with notes on them saying no Brett Forte or else. Like, it's insane. We're all just guilty by association right now. So the t-shirt in question is about Robert Picton, and Robert Picton murdered some prostitutes in the 90s in British Columbia and buried them on his pig farm, and that's how he disposed of the remains. And the shirt says Sam cheersing a piece of bacon with Robert Picton, and it says Picton Farms, over 50 flavors of hookery smoked bacon. Okay, is it our finest joke? No, that was something tangible the media could grab onto. The first thing that got us in trouble was a roast battle joke from 2 years ago. 2 years ago in a roast battle, and you know the mission statement of a roast battle, right? Is to inflict damage on the person across from you. Well, Uncle Hack said to his opponent, you know, she said that he'd been sleeping around a lot. He's like, me sleep around? Like, you've spit out more potential bodies than a dig site at a residential school. Pause. Okay. You might not understand the residential school reference, do you?
Not really, no.
No. So the same way almost Sandy Hook is like a no-touch subject in America, these residential schools. So our indigenous population were put in these schools and mistreated badly. And there have been remains of their bodies dug up or whatever in these residential schools where they're buried. So it's a pretty harsh reference, but it did its job in a roast battle format. And unfortunately, jokes like that should not make their way on the internet. Well, this one did. 2 years ago, it gave us some problems. And then the same person that released it, held on to it for 2 years and waited until we were about to perform in Winnipeg, which is kind of the capital for the indigenous population in our country. It was a hit piece. She timed it perfectly. And emails started coming in to every venue that we had left on the tour. It went from just emails to death threats, like physical, like rocks through the window and violence. And your staff are just as guilty. So we're coming after the servers. And it's like, oh my God.
Oh my
God.
We
love to, like, when you're in a situation like this, you have a couple decisions. Do you apologize? Well, I don't think if I went on the news and said, hey, sorry, bud. Right. They wouldn't be like, oh, well, that guy's actually not such a bad guy after all. Never mind. And they would move on. There's no win in that. I've been through this before. I received like 1,000 death threats in 2020 over a turban joke that wasn't offensive in the least bit. This is a common theme with all jokes that are deemed too offensive or too far. Robert Picton, the murderer, is up for parole right away here. That's the big news story. He has served 25 years in prison. He is now up for parole to get out. So because that's news, then they look for anything else attached to it. And then now the t-shirt's offensive. It wasn't offensive when he was in year 24 of his sentence. It's offensive now because it's buzzworthy. When I made the turban joke, it was funny for 4 years. A guy saved a woman out of the river who was drowning with his turban. He unraveled it, threw it in, saved her life. And I championed this guy as a hero. He unraveled his turban like a whip, like a lasso. And the paper said, "Man saves drowning woman." And I said, "This is the work of no man. This is the work of East Indiana Jones," is what I said. It's like, look, I got a magnet. Speaking of merch, East Indiana Jones right there, unraveling the turban. That side, the offended don't understand that comedians aren't making statements. We're just trying to make jokes. I think Bill Burr said it best of like, everything's a joke until it's something that's about you or close to you, and then it's a statement. And yeah. So they recently took this roast battle joke in this t-shirt design as a statement. The death threats come in, and then so now it's not the venue's fault for this.
The jokes in question are exactly what Brett says they are. Jokes. We've all witnessed comics getting bashed online for pushing boundaries of what can and cannot be joked about in America, but in this country, the outrage is typically bound to the realm of the internet, and rarely spills over into real-world danger or life-threatening circumstances. This is why the comedy norm in Canada is to move to the United States as soon as you can, which weirdly enough has been made more of a possibility because of this backlash in the case of the Danger Cats.
One venue dropped out, Yuck Yucks Winnipeg. They said, "We want no part of this," and they dropped us. And then the threats started coming in for the other venues. And because it's not the server's joke, it's not the server's problem. So we then found new venues for every leg on the tour. We announced that location to ticket buyers only the day of the show to keep the venue, the staff, and the people attending safe. Well, you still have to put a ticket link out there, so we know there's going to be some bad seeds buying tickets. So we literally Google these names as they come in.
Oh my
and
God.
You can see who's an activist and who's like Antifa, who's got who's just buying a ticket to try to get the location and start a problem. So they go in a separate list. And the people that had tickets for months, we know that they're legit ticket buyers. We give them the real address. And then, for example, when we went to Winnipeg, we know the people that aren't honest, and we send them a fake location across town, 45 minutes away. So by the time they figure out that's not the real place, we're already wrapping up mic cords and we're out of that city.
Wow.
And in a couple of cases, we even emailed them like, "Hey, your tickets have been refunded. Maybe you don't have activist in your Facebook bio, you idiot." It's a temporary fix. Like, we can't be doing shows like this all the time. I know Don't Tell Comedy is already a brand, but ours right now is like, please, please don't tell. Oddly, our immigration lawyer said to Uncle Hack and Sam Walker that this actually makes her job easier to get them the same visa I have.
Oh.
Like, I have an O-1 and they have O-2s underneath me. They can come and open for me in America. But now, because of all the headlines across the country, yes, they all say they're racist, but she goes a headline to headline. Goes press is press. I could spin this. So
that's
these guys
awesome.
Are actually going to have, I think, a better career as a result of it. It's kind of you're stuck in the mud right now, but it looks good in a few months. But the win in the moment is just staying creative and trying to keep it funny. And we have no bone in our body where we want to dehumanize people or, you know, punch down all these terms and shit like that. We're just making jokes, man. That's it. The win, I guess, for them is getting their paperwork for the States because of this. Kind of like a 50 Cent story, 9 bullets and he's still walking, you know? This is now my second bullet. I've dealt with this. I've been, like I said, in 2020, like, you talk about it going past jokes, and that the real hate speech is what we hear back. Like, they would send photos of guns and knives and addresses of the next club I was going to be at. It was insane. And like, there were kids too, like 16-year-old kids sending in photos of guns. And I would just screenshot it and call the principal the next day and say, "Hey, your kid, you know, the kid have expelled." Yes, move to your country is the answer for sure. Just purely because of the First Amendment. That's insane. I'm allowed to speak without getting sued. Case example, two Canadian comics have been fined between $50,000 and $100,000 because of jokes said on stage. And it went to court and they lost. Wow. And in one case, there wasn't even a smoking gun. There was no footage. It was just all he said, she said.
Really?
Yes.
So I'll give you that for anyone.
And it's getting even worse than that. Now there's a new bill potentially being passed in my country, Bill C-63, where hate speech is punishable by law up to life in prison. But more realistically, it'll be a $20,000 fine if you have a comment or a tweet that is deemed as hate. It doesn't affect your private messaging, but the minute it goes into a comment, if it's been a comment on the internet for the last 10 years, they can dig it up. It doesn't cost any money. This isn't passed yet, but this is the proposal. It doesn't cost any money to file a hate speech complaint, and there's no limit on how many you can file. But if you win, the victim is given $20,000, and the guy that was hateful has to then spend another $50,000 in fines to the government. So they're really scaring you. So now it could be a full-time job to just sit there and flag comments and send them in and hope that you can cash a $20,000 check.
Yeah, it's incentivized.
That is my country right now. I know there's not a lot of Bitcoin left to be mined, but there's certainly a lot of hateful comments that could be found. And apparently each comment is worth half a Bitcoin right now.
Holy shit.
How's your country going?
I guess it's f***ing awesome. I mean, yeah. I had complaints up until 2 minutes ago, I guess.
And when I tell you about the lawsuits that have happened against real Canadian comedians who have lost in Supreme Court 50 to 100 grand, maybe even more because of legal fees, that's a domino. That sets a precedent. And those are good comics, too, that lost money in crazy scenarios, too. The one was in a comedy club, I believe, in Vancouver. And there was these two girls in the front row, and they were being very noisy and they're talking. They start kissing each other in the front row. So you got to put a lid on that, right? You got to address them. And he goes, okay, so lesbians? And they're like, yep. And he goes, I don't think so. It's just no dude would fuck either of you. There's no reporting of this. This is all monkey telephone at this point. So that's probably not even the exact line that was said. But they go home and bee-boo, they get a lawsuit together and they sue and they win because of defamation of character or whatever. They got embarrassed in public. Like, can't believe it went through. And that's one without even any evidence of
people
what happened.
People post that as a good clip in America. Like,
states.
Yeah. This current situation regarding the Danger Cats really helps put things into perspective as far as the topic of comedy censorship here in America. Admittedly, I know basically nothing about Canadian history or Robert Picton, but free speech for humor's sake is constantly being discussed by comedians. And there always seems to be a looming issue surrounding the ability to still say whatever you want here, especially in regards to online censorship. But after learning more about what comedians are facing just north of our border, life for US comics looks pretty good.
Yeah, you know, there's only like one guy that stood up for us. A few of the venues said we're not canceling the shows until we had to cancel them because of safety issues. Mm-hmm. But one guy made a statement, Mark Breslin, he's the founder of Yuck Yucks. And he says, Yuck Yucks has always been a free speech environment. And no matter if the comic is talking about sex, race, or politics, there's always the danger that they will go too far. We may not agree with what they say, but we defend their right to say it. Sometimes jokes veer into the tasteless. But as Lenny Bruce once said, good taste is for interior decorators, not for comedians. The Danger Cat show was at Niagara Falls this past weekend and sold out 5 shows, not one complaint. So he's had our back. Now, he's the founder of Yuck Yucks. You would think, why would Yuck Yucks Winnipeg cancel us?
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're like Subways. They are independently owned, like franchisees. So the founder and the owner of the whole branch only has some say over what that independent location does. In the case of Winnipeg, they just pulled the chute completely. But when we're going to Toronto, the head club for Yuck Yucks in April with Brian Holtzman, that's the only venue where we haven't had to change or hide, because Mark, like, he just had a Israel show, I believe. The comedians were, I don't know, I think it was Rich Voss and some other guys, and it was like a Israel comedy night. So the Palestine people protested it.
Okay.
And there's footage of this, of like riot cops having to come and with shields and back hordes of people off the entrance so that Mark could get in. And I think his shirt got ripped. So Mark is like, he's fighting the good fight. He says he doesn't want to call the riot cops in for every show.
Right.
But he's like, work with me a little bit here. No. That is cool to see, like, him standing out, because there's not a lot of that going on.
Guest spots from last week. The Joe Rogan Experience had full episodes with the Black Keys and That Mexican OT. Two Bears, One Cave was Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. Dr. Drew and Ari Shaffir were on the Legion of Skanks. Ari Shaffir and Dan St. Germain went on We Might Be Drunk. Josh Potter and Will Blunderfield visited Your Mom's House. Taste Buds battled 7-Eleven versus Starbucks Coffee. Flagrant talked with a spy from the CIA. Patrick Rena from Sandlot was on The Way Back. Mike Racine Dean went on the Adam Friedland Show podcast, Matt and Shane talked with Simon Rex, Adam Ray and Tom Green were both on Kill Tony, and Andrew Santino was on episode one of You Be Trippin'.
Two like larger cabins.
Yeah.
And then there's two other smaller ones, and then a captain's quarters in the very front of the boat. He's got his own little like
a week.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was so dope. And the Bay Area, if you can find a buoy in a bay, which by the way is funny to hear him say, when he would say it, he'd say it sounded like boy. He's like, "We must find a little boy." And I was like, "Why do we need a little boy?" He's like, "No, we have to get a little boy for the boat." And I was like, "What the fuck? I'm dead serious." He kept saying it like a little boy, a little tiny boy for the boat. And I was like, I don't really want a boy on the boat.
Your wife's just like, "Hey, they have different customs. Let's yeah. just, you gotta.
All right, we'll get a little boy on the boat."
This past weekend with Theo Von, talked with Nick Kiergross. Theo Von returned to Tiger Belly. Kyle Kinane visited Stavi's World. Kyle was also on the Blocks podcast. Are You Garbage did not have a guest. Bad Friends had on Bobby Althoff. Bobby Kelly was the guest on Whiskey Ginger. Jim Norton was on The Honeydew. First Date featured Kim Kong. Rick Glassman had Esther Pavitsky take her shoes off. Being Ian with Jordan welcomed Mike Racine, Brendan Saglow, and Sam Tallon. Harvey Gian was on Hey Babe. And Kevin Hart and Corinne Feehan were on the Real Ass podcast. As far as new stand-up specials are either out right now or coming out soon, Dan St. Germain has a brand new special up right now on the 800 Pound Gorilla YouTube channel titled Dance Fatty Dance. Also out on YouTube is Kevin Ryan Live from Philly, Tyler Morrison Pimp Daddy, David Lucas Uncancelable, Gaslit by Akash Singh, Greg Stone Nobody Presents, and out right now on Netflix is Brian Simpson Live from the Mothership.
Filming your special at the Mothership, that's a big deal. So what was the process like getting permission or just pitching the idea of filming a special there in the first place?
Oh, that was actually the easiest part, honestly. Because like from the moment I met Rogan, I mean, well, at least from the moment he saw me being funny, you know, he was like, "Oh, I support you however I can, whatever you need. Don't need a trip." And, you know, and I never asked him for nothing. But then I was like, "Hey, I want to film my special here." And he was like, "Yeah." Even though, you know, the room didn't look anything like it normally looks, they changed it so differently. Like, you'll see when it comes out, you'll be like, "This didn't even look like the same place."
We also have a few specials in the works right now that will be coming out soon. Starting off with Dave Attell Hot Cross Buns, which will be coming to Netflix on March 26th. Neil Brennan Crazy Good is set to premiere on Netflix April 9th. Jimmy Carr is also returning to Netflix with Natural Born Killer on April 16th. Mike Racine I'm Normal will be hitting YouTube on March 21st. And Andrew Young Blood's new special will be out on Mark Norman's YouTube channel on March 28th. There's a ton of good stand-up comedy that will be coming out over the next few weeks. But if you're truly a diehard comedy fan, you gotta tap into the Podcast March Madness tournament that's taking place over the next 10 days right here on Joke World. The last video we posted contains all the information you'll need to take part in this contest, which will be linked on the end screen right after this. But basically, it's just like the real March Madness tournament, but instead of college basketball teams, it's with comedy podcasts, and you vote on your favorite clips to advance. This is just supposed to be a fun thing to do during the month of March. There's really no need to get upset about the clip selection or the seeding of the podcast. It's basically just something for the comedy fan community to come together and do something just for fun. So definitely be sure to check out the video on the end screen right after this if you want to get in the March Madness mix. Other than that, thank you so much for watching this video. We'll be back again soon with another long form video. But in the meantime, if you want to claim your free Joke World stickers, as always, go check out the link in the bio of our Instagram. And if you want even more Joke World merchandise, if the free stickers aren't cutting it for you, you can pay for a hat.
At Joke World. That's it, at Joke World.
And the world is WRLD.
That's a great YouTube channel, Joke World. Check it out.